NXT TakeOver Rival Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Adam Hopkins. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our annual NXT TakeOver Conference Call. We are here in Orlando getting ready for tomorrow's special, and it should be a great show. These calls continue to grow, so I would like to ask that all questions be kept to two per person to try to accommodate as many as we can. Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce WWE's Executive Vice President of Talent, Live Events, and Creative, Paul Triple H Levesque.
Thank you very much. Thank you guys for being part of this call again today. It's an exciting time for, I think, developmental for NXT. And I've been saying that for a while now. It just seems that the excitement continues to build on itself, which to me is the exciting part. I want to personally thank everybody for their continued interest in these calls and giving us the opportunity to, you know, have an open forum with you and discuss what happens here in developmental, the system that we have, and where our future plans are going. I also wanted to take a moment to thank Wrestling Inc. They are going to be receiving a tour of the Performance Center later this week, and I'll just throw it out there again to everybody on the call. Anybody that is interested media-wise to visit the Performance Center, take a tour of their convenience, or a behind-the-scenes look at what we do here at Full Sail and NXT, please take us up on that offer. I would love for all of you to see it. Obviously, I am, as well as everybody here, is very proud of what we do and what we're accomplishing, and we love to share it with all of you. And before we get started on the rest of the call, I wanted to take a moment because some of you have asked, and I want to address it right off the bat, is about the Kobe Lopez situation, Seth Rollins. Kobe has issued an apology to his family and friends. This is an unfortunate personal incident, and that's really all it is. So I would like to, with that said, I'd like to stay back on topic and talk about NXT TakeOver. Tomorrow will be an exciting and a very exciting event for the brand. It's I think we have set the bar for ourselves very high. It's hard for me to believe that it has only been 1 year since we started doing these TakeOver specials. And a year later, I think we've set the bar for ourselves at a very high level, and we look to raise that bar again tomorrow. There's some exciting things happening on the show. I'll go through a little bit of the card, but you see Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey. I think an opportunity for these guys to show a little bit more in depth what they can actually do. They've both made tremendous strides in the last year in growing, and especially Corbin just kind of stepping into this brand new, coming out of the NFL and really making an impact here. Blake and Murphy, a brand new tag team that are now the NXT Tag Team Champions. One of the teams that has really just, to me, gone from being something that I would see here and just kind of think like, oh, they got some potential, to all of a sudden just a very, very exciting tag team. And the Lucha Dragons just continue to do things. Kalisto and Sin Cara continue to do things to me that just defy logic sometimes. One of the things I'm extremely excited about, as I talked about on Stone Cold's podcast, is the continued development of our women's division. I think that we have some of the greatest female performers, I'll say ever, right now. We have Becky Lynch, Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte competing in a fatal four-way for the NXT Women's Championship, and that is just another exciting opportunity for me to show, or for them to show the world, just what they can do, and not look at it because they're girls, not look at it because they're women, not look at it any differently. It's just show them the kind of performer that they are. I truly believe that we are changing perceptions with the women's division, and that is very exciting. I'm sure some of you have seen it, but we did an interesting video package on the Like a Girl campaign that was done at the Super Bowl, which if you haven't seen it, I'd take a look at it. It's pretty cool, and it just shows, I think, where this division has grown to and what they are doing, and it just shows that, you know, hashtag Like a Girl means you can do anything. Another really exciting match that I think has a lot of people globally interested is Finn Balor versus Adrian Neville. If you have followed these guys' long history in the business, they're no strangers to each other. They've put on some amazing matches, and this is going to put it at a whole new level. Excited to see what these guys can do. To me, this is a match that when you talk about NXT exemplifying the future and showing you what you have to look forward to in the future of the WWE, Finn Balor and Adrian Neville might be the poster for that future. And then I think the match that right now everybody is talking about from a performance standpoint, but also from a just a storyline standpoint and a emotional connection standpoint, is the Sami Zayn, the NXT champion, competing against Kevin Owens in his second opportunity at a takeover here. He's been here for, 2 months on air and has been doing phenomenal. Sami Zayn continues to be just kind of the foundation of NXT right now, and I can't wait to see that match. I think it's going to be very exciting. We continue to grow the brand, and I think that 2015 is going to be an exciting time for NXT. We are doing some exciting stuff in Columbus and Cleveland coming up with some live events. Columbus sold extremely well, just promoted through social media, sold out about, 1,200 tickets in 2 hours. It's very exciting. We've got a second show in Cleveland, and that leads us into the Arnold Classic, or the Arnold Fitness Weekend, where we will be doing some live-facing or public-facing tryouts, so to speak, with some talent thinking about coming in, and we'll be doing some matches and Q&As and autograph signings. But it also right now allows us to expand NXT outside of the Florida region that we've been in, and we've grown the brand enough now that I believe that going outside of the region is the thing to do. And my goal by the end of 2015 going into 16 is have this be a completely touring brand, no different than the main roster, obviously maybe in smaller venues, but a complete touring roster that gets these guys working every single weekend, because after all, that's how you get better at doing this, is live in front of the world. With that said, I'd like to open up the call to questions. And again, thank you guys very much for your participation.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. At this time, we'll go first to Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. You actually answered one of my questions, which was going to be about touring going forward, because last time we spoke, we discussed it, and you said you wanted it to remain the focus to always be on NXT as a developmental brand so guys could move on and go to the main roster. With the plans to now take it on the road in some fashion by the end of 2015, how does that change the developmental career path for guys?
Well, it doesn't at all. I mean, I think no different than like a AAA baseball, or your goal is still to get up to the bigs, and I think for anybody here, their goal, hopefully, is still to get up to Raw, SmackDown, the main roster, WrestleMania, and that's where I want them all to get. The importance for me about the touring component is it just gives them an opportunity to work, and not in front of the same crowds every week. It gives them the opportunity to fully tour, and I think we've created a brand successful enough right now to be able to take it around to a lot of different markets. We have a lot of interest in bot shows, where people are bringing us in, and then we also will tour it on our own. And I think that having that opportunity for these guys to do what we're bringing them up to speed on at the Performance Center, but do it every day in front of a live crowd, in front of different cities with different reactions and different mentalities. That's a true learning component of the business, is being able to do this on the fly and read the crowd and change on the fly. And that's what I'm really trying to get them to do. And it doesn't change. I hope that right in the middle, smack dab, right in the middle of some kind of huge storyline where I've got guys touring with it and everything, you know, Vince calls and says, I want that guy, and I got to figure out how to take him out of it and move on, because that means it's succeeding. And the more guys that I can get on the main roster, my goal is to have this be as good as possible. But, you know, I 5 years from now, I want to be looking at a WrestleMania packed with guys that came out of this system.
Right, because I remember a couple of calls ago, you said that if NXT was similar to what ECW was a generation ago, you wanted it to be the equivalent of what WCW was. But WCW didn't have to worry about the main roster taking a guy just as you're building a Starcade. You know, that's why I was curious how the touring was going to change the developmental system at all. So
yeah, I don't know, though. You know, even at that time, listen, when guys' contracts were coming up, I mean, you know, guys jumped over to the WWE at the time, or guys went from WWE to WCW. They moved around. I also think there's an opportunity here if we can grow this big enough. You know, I'm not saying it's ever going to be on that exact same level, though I'd like it to be, but I think there's an opportunity when guys have been, you know, if you've been on the main roster for 6-7 years or whatever, and you need a bit of a refresh, this is a great opportunity to put a guy, and it's not, I hopefully it'll become where it's not seen as a demotion. It's seen as, you know, go back down here, work a little program, do what you do with a little bit looser guidelines, and then come back up fresh again. You know, I'm trying to create a system here where when you see guys like Sami Zayn, what I loved about that era in the business, and even going back into the 70s and 80s, when you just, you know, the way you heard about these other guys was reading about them in magazines, but you'd heard about them. And part of the charm of that was, wow, what happens if this guy were to come here? And you start to build that up in your head, so when it does happen, it's even bigger. To me, I want people to start thinking, wow, man, what would happen if Sami Zayn was up here to go up against Daniel Bryan? What happens if Kevin Owens comes up here and he's going up against Roman Reigns? What happens if Finn Balor comes up here and he gets to go in the ring against John Cena? What, I want to fantasize about what those matchups are, and hopefully that becomes the big carrot, you know, and if guys can then come back down here and refresh and regroup and reinvigorate themselves, maybe reinvent themselves a little bit and then go back up, that helps too. You know, it's all, it, to me, it all benefits each other.
My second question is, obviously with TakeOver this week, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to be main eventing, which I think fans that have followed their career prior to NXT, certainly there's a high level of excitement and anticipation for the match. How far are we away from an NXT title match being on a WrestleMania stage at this point, especially given the growth of the brand?
You know, it's an interesting question. I get asked that a lot. You know, it's one of the questions I get asked a lot is, wouldn't it be great if they put NXT in Raw every week? Well, yeah, but then it kind of takes away from the charm of it and the what ifs and the separation of it. It's an interesting question. I'd love to see participation somehow, but yet I also don't want to lose perspective of, as big as we have created this, you know, Raw, SmackDown, WrestleMania, it's a whole nother beast and a whole nother animal, you know, can we get there? I hope so. How far we are away from that, I'm not really sure, but the great thing for me is that it continues to take step by step by step, and you know, I feel like every time we have these phone calls in my mind, it's almost like this little reset for me, knowing that we have the special, but these calls are like a little reset for me to take 10 minutes before I get on the call with you guys and think about what we've done in the past year or what we've done in the last 6 months even, and how awesome that is.
Well, I wish you guys nothing but the best, and I look forward to seeing where you are a year from now.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
And we'll go next to Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net.
Good morning, Paul. You kind of touched on it earlier. It just seems like there's a noticeable difference in the way that the NXT women are presented compared to the way the Divas are on the main roster. It kind of feels like the developmental women are working really long, entertaining matches at the developmental level, and then they get called up to work 2 or 3 minute throwaway matches on WWE television by and large. Will this change, or is this a product of just two different visions that maybe you have compared to Vince McMahon on the main roster?
I think it's a little of both. I think it's a little of different visions and the morphing of those visions. It's tough to just wholesale change everything. And I think that, partly when you look at Raw, SmackDown compared to NXT and what we do, they're a little bit different audiences. And some people are going to take exception to that statement, but there are a lot of general casual fans and that watch Raw, they watch SmackDown, and they perceive the business slightly different. And it takes a while to change those perceptions I think we're doing that. I think we're showing what these divas can do, what our women can do. It's just going to take time. It takes time to change people's perceptions, how they see it. Part of that is vision. Part of that is execution. But I think we'll get there. And I think for me, there's a lot of trend-setting things going on right now and changing. It's like a paradigm shift of how people view women in the world. And it's ridiculous that you even have to say that, but with like a Ronda Rousey, with, somebody like that, just changing the perception, whatever, 2 years ago, there were statements that UFC would never have women fighting. And now she's the biggest thing, in MMA. I think perception of how women are seen and perceived and presented, it's changing every day. I'm proud that NXT, that Charlotte and Sasha and all these girls that we have down here are leading the charge in that, and I'm excited for where they can take this in the future.
I think anyone it simply just needs to watch some of the matches you've had on the live specials, and their perception will change quickly, but I digress. Can you talk about Hideo Itami's transition? It just seems like a lot of people who remember him as Kenta are still waiting for him to just be wowed by him at the NXT level. Is this just a case of him transitioning to the WWE style?
I think a little bit of that. I think, it's a hard transition. Anybody that, just imagine yourself picking yourself up and moving to Japan, not speaking the language, trying to learn the language. You've left your family, and he's in the process of moving them. And it's a wholesale change in every component of this guy's life. And, he's very respectful of everything, the WWE, and it is in some ways as big as he is to these guys. It actually even sometimes surprises me of how much they hold the WWE as like this almost unattainable thing for them, that when they get here and they get this opportunity, it's a little overwhelming. And I every time I see him, I say to him, let go, let loose, let loose. I brought you here for a reason. Let me see it, and he's getting there. It's just a transition, and it's a hard transition, and I think everybody, everybody thinks they know what to expect, and everybody thinks they know what should happen, and, God, this guy's so good, and then he needs to transition. You see it here from NXT getting up to the main roster. As ready as guys are for it, they get up there, and there's a gap for a couple of weeks. There's that holding back for a little bit of time, and it depends on how quickly they can get past that in their own mind. A lot of them I don't even think are aware that they do it, but how quickly can they get past that in their own mind to become the performer that they can be? Because a lot of that is letting go. Austin said it the other day. I'm trying to think of the quote. He said it, if you're thinking you're dying or something, it's a That's a strong statement to me because it means a lot. It's really, this business is not about going in there and thinking. It's about going in there and feeling. And I think when you make that giant shift, you start to go in the ring again and you take massive steps back in your career and you start to think again because you're rethinking. You're trying to think about the different style. You're trying to think about the language barrier. You're thinking about all these things for somebody like Hideo, you know, and getting past all that thinking to where he just goes back and feels it. I've seen changes in him since he's got here, and I'm confident that he's going to get there. And I think he's going to be one of these days, like, we're going to just – I've already said it to him, and I feel like it just continues, but there's going to be that moment where we go, that's the guy.
And do you, I guess just to sneak with another one in here, do you have any of those concerns about Kevin Owens? I mean, he's still pretty new in his developmental run, and he's headlining the show tomorrow. Any concern that he's going to hold back at all and still be thinking too much?
It's funny. He and I had a moment the night before the last special where we were talking, and he was just kind of walking through an entrance, and I just pulled him aside and I was like, hey, what are you doing? You know how to do this. Stop. You know what I mean? Like, stop and take a step back and just let this be real. This is a big moment to you. I knew it was because I talked to him about it. And this is a big moment to you. And let it be what it is. Be real. Let it be what it is. Feel it. Don't think it. Be it. And it was like a light bulb went off for him and he changed. And the next day to me, there was no hesitation. There was no... there was no step back. He got past it seemingly real fast. Now, is that possible? Yeah, absolutely it's possible. Does he still have stuff to learn? Absolutely. I think all these guys, as good as they are, and that's across the board, you never stop learning in this business. Crowds change. Responses change. The way people, you know, the reactions of the Hogan era to the Attitude era to today, they're all different, and it's all different. How people think and react is totally different, and you gotta change with that and morph with it. And he's changing, and he's morphing, and he's growing, and I see it in the work that I see down here at the Performance Center with him, and I'm confident that he and Sammy are gonna tear it up tomorrow. But, you know, When I go back and I say sometimes, like, I don't want to lose sight that this is developmental, it still is. These guys are still trying to learn of what it takes to get up to that selling out a 70,000-seat stadium level, you know?
Well, hey, looking forward to the show. Thank you for the time, and best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Jason.
And we'll go next to Scott Fishman with the Miami Herald.
Hey, Paul. Good talking to you, man.
Same here.
Just wanted to get your thoughts on, because they, you know, NXT just released new shirts, new merchandise. You guys mentioned live events, and a lot of the stars have already worked actual main roster live events. So how is would you say the mood or the feeling backstage is not only on the WWE roster but also on the NXT roster, seeing all these opportunities happen for these guys and girls?
Well, I mean, I think for the people down here. In developmental for NXT, I think they couldn't be more excited. I think, when you talk about getting to the main roster and doing all those things, NXT has become this amazing place to be, not just to be to sit to wait to get to the next level. You're not just sitting in here miserably going out of your mind, even though there is a lot of repetition. It's an exciting place to be, and it's only going to get more exciting. To see the look on a talent's face down here when they get their own shirt for the first time, and then when it sells well, or just all of it, I think, means the world to them and just makes them feel part of this is making them feel confident and comfortable, and that they are special in a way so that they can translate that and grow up to the main roster. You know, as far as the main roster. I don't know, but if I was on the main roster and I was looking at some talent in developmental that are selling shirts, not just have a shirt, but are selling those shirts and are in the upper end of shop numbers and all those things, and that are creating the buzz they are, it certainly would be lighting a fire under me to figure out what I've got to do and how I've got to get to that next level, and I'd be leaving no stone unturned. And I think that's what you see. I think that competition, to me, is the greatest. It's one of the greatest things to come out of this is it doesn't hurt to have a fire lit under everybody every now and then, and I think that NXT does that.
Right. And you touched on this a little bit with Kevin Owens and his transition. I mean, it's been a matter of months now. He finds himself, you know, in the main event of this big show with Sami Zayn. If you could just talk about, you know, the rivalry between the two and having it showcased on WWE programming when it's, you know, it was something that was largely built outside of WWE.
Yeah, well, listen, one of the things that I like about NXT, I don't make it the past didn't happen. I don't have to dwell on it, and I don't have to overly get into it, but I don't want to make like it didn't happen. And to me, it's part of, I don't know, to me it's part of that reality era thing, and there is this amazing, 12, 14-year story between these two guys that have this legitimate friendship that has been all over the place. They've taken slightly different career paths. I'm sure legitimately there's been moments of happiness and jealousy and everything else in between that every single human being on the planet has. Everybody can relate to it. And really that's it at the end of the day, right, is a story that everybody can relate to and then just telling it. And these guys have this amazing story. So to me it's just that's a way better story than anything I could ever come up with. You know,
right.
because it's real and it happened and it's truthful and then it's easy for these guys to morph and get into because it's in some ways is it a twist on the true story? Yeah, absolutely. But there's some stuff they can sink their teeth into there that really means something. So it's exciting. It's exciting for the fan base. And when you look at the WWE Network as it continues to grow, but you know the base of the WWE Network coming in, it's a lot of our most hardcore fans, and our most hardcore fans know that story, or at least have heard that story. So it makes sense for me to tell it. And then as you tell that story, that becomes our story, that as they, you know, hopefully 5 years from now, there's another version of a similar strain of this same story happening around the main roster or WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. And also thank you last week for the publication shout-out during Austin's podcast. Appreciate it.
Listen, you guys promote me, I'll promote you, right?
Yeah. Good relationship there.
And we'll go next to Dave Meltzer with Wrestling Observer.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
It's going good. I actually got a bunch of questions, so I'm just going to – I know I got to go to two. The first thing I wanted to bring up is you brought up Ronda Rousey and the women and everything like that, and I was kind of like very closely watching how that thing went. And, I mean, one of the things they did – you talked about like a slow transition, and I understand the idea of that, but they actually did, you know, the opposite. It was just like they went from 0 to 100 – in one day, it was like they made the idea that, okay, we're going into this thing and we're going to make the, you know, the star, you know, who was Ronda, we're going to make her as big as the men pronto, and they pushed her. They changed the entire way that they did it, and, you know, on show one, it was already a hit because they made sure it was a hit, as opposed to like a slow gradual. And I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong, but it was, when you made that mention, it was kind of like, to me, I would almost want to go in there and say, look, it's different. Here it is with a new signature star, and she's going to be, you know, whoever it is or several of them. This is a new era, and then you just kick it off right there. So
yeah,
anyway, just an idea.
Yeah, no, but I'll take a step back on that and say, okay, yeah, but that's if you look at it from the UFC side. But if you – it's not like Ronda just was like washing dishes at Denny's or something like that and decided she was going to go in the UFC. She was building this amazing career and making a name for herself someplace else, right?
Well, they saw her in Strikeforce. And,
right. But that's my point is they were already making that – Strikeforce was making that transition for them just like we're doing in NXT.
Right, right, exactly.
Right, and then all of a sudden one day it's going to make this – I think it'll make this shift and it'll become the overnight sensation even though we've been building it, you know, for a while. And I think that just happens. There's that moment of of the paradigm shift where all of a sudden everybody seems to get it, you know?
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah, because I think that there's a potential. I don't know. Like, I know that Charlotte just said she wants to main event a pay-per-view at some point, and who knows? I wouldn't want to say, no, you can't do it, but I do think that there's, and you've proven it with your shows, you can put them in that number two slot, and they've delivered every time.
Yeah, and listen, I would also, and I know people say that there's one main event. I don't know that that's true. I think people get things for different reasons, and I would argue that she's already been in a main event in some of our stuff down here. We've made her from a writing standpoint, she's been the focal point of a lot of the shows, main evented the shows themselves. I don't put a governor on it at all. If people buy it and it's and they want to see it, man, all more power to them. I'm just along for the ride on that part.
So one question I want to ask, I know that you've recruited a lot of athletes from a lot of different sports, whether it's powerlifting, wrestling, football. Are there guys that you have seen that we haven't seen because they either have only wrestled house shows or not even gotten there, where you're looking at them and going like, these guys, there's something here. I know I saw like Chad Gable in a 3-minute match on television, and I that was like the first one I saw where it's like, there's something here with this guy.
Yeah. Listen, when you run a roster that at any moment in time could get strip mined by the main roster, you have to know what the backups are, right? So when I go down the line, I look at it and I have my elite crew kind of that's sitting at the top, and they're the focal point of the NXT, the shows. You move down that line to kind of like this advanced group that's part of those shows and then kind of sitting on deck to be the main event of those shows. And then you have this group that's beneath them that is either maybe been seen quickly or ready to be seen at any point in time. We're using them a little bit on the live events and these, they're sitting there, guys and girls sitting there ready to take their opportunity in NXT. And it's really becomes no different than anything else. It's waiting for kind of a spot to open up. And then we have people in that beginning rung that they're just trying to figure out how to hit the ropes. But you look at them, everybody from the time we look at them when they're sending us the application, we're evaluating their potential and where they can get to. And then as you move forward, you see there's a lot of factors to that. But yeah, you bring up Chad Gable, and absolutely, is he a guy that I'm looking at? Like, yeah, he should be a part of this show very shortly. There are guys that are ready to go, a Solomon Crow that are, you know, you're just trying to figure out exactly how to position them in it and make it work with the right creative component that allows you to make them fit in. Where I don't want to start somebody, especially when they're ready, and start somebody and they go, it's not really working, we'll back them out and redo this, even though that can happen, and it's a part of what we do, you know. So there's definitely, for every top person we have sitting here, I got some people underneath them chomping at the bit to knock them off their perch and move up. It's competition on every level here, you know.
So how many people do you have down there right now?
You know what? As of today, it'd be hard for me to say. Somewhere in the probably 65, 70 group. You know, it ebbs and flows, but about 70. You know, we can hold up to or train here comfortably. I like to keep in the group somewhere between 65 and 100. 70 to 80 is very comfortable.
Mm. Okay. Cool. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
And we'll go next to Robert McCarron with Wrestling Observer.
Hi there, Paul. Hi, Adam. I just wanted to thank the two of you for opening the doors to us to get this unique perspective. I'll be at TakeOver tomorrow to experience the live special atmosphere firsthand for the first time, so I'm looking forward to that. You mentioned the Like a Girl campaign video that you sent around the Super Bowl. Any particular reason why certain women at the Performance Center weren't involved, most specifically Bailey?
Yeah, so I'll give you the backstory on this very quickly. Steph shows me that video. I hadn't seen the video. She shows me the Like a Girl video on like Friday afternoon, and we watch it, and I'm like, wow, that's really great. You know, like what a cool campaign and all that stuff. And I'm getting ready to leave the office that night. We're leaving crack of dawn to go to the Super Bowl in the morning, and I get this idea in my head. I'm like, wow, geez, we should do that. Like, right, I'm gonna see if I can't throw something together real fast and get it in this Super Bowl conversation. So I call down here to the Performance Center. They're working a live event. I forget where they were, but like not close. And I call down here and I ask them, could you get this done? And of course they say, yeah. And they call these girls and it's like, who can get here after the live event? So they're here shooting at like this ridiculous time of night. The next day, they're rough editing it. They go to the show the following night on Saturday. They shoot the little girl and from a live event, and they ask some kids some questions to try to get something of the campaign. But you know, like this is all happening. Like I give them some brief, quick direction. They jump on it. They're scrambling to try to get people. I'm flying out to Phoenix. I land in Phoenix. They're talking to me about what they're thinking, and I send them some more direction. They've got another live event that night, and bottom line is Saturday afternoon, I get something. I don't dig it. We send it back. They redo it. I mean, when I say this was done last minute, it shows the strength of what we can do down here. Totally 100% shot, edited, every bit of it just down here at the Performance Center. And, you know, it was good enough to put up into social media. You know, obviously I would want to shoot it again if we were going to put it on TV or something and do it differently. And there was very little guidance, very little anything. These girls spoke from the heart, and we just chopped it up and used it. And we were able to get it and you know, put it into the conversation around the Super Bowl. Which, you know, it actually, I came up with the idea of doing the video, and Steph said, can they get it done by Sunday and get it in the conversation of the Super Bowl, which trumped my idea, and they were able to get it done even faster, and we were able to get it in there, and it was really cool. And it's funny that the people always that did the campaign reached out to us. They had shown it to their entire company and sent us a package, and were really impressed with you know, just us being a part of it, and that their campaign caused us to do something different. It was cool, but knowing how these girls down here kind of feel about what they do, and it was meaningful to them, and I think that came across in it, and it was very cool. I know that all of them down here, they're really excited about being role models and being just kind of like those pioneers to that next generation of young girls that can come up and let them know that, hey, you can do anything.
Absolutely. Thanks for that insight. And then I'll just finish up with Alex Riley hasn't been seen on a lot of the network pre-shows lately. Is Alex Riley still expected to be a part of the NXT broadcast team this week?
We're making some mild transitions with Alex, and you know, he's expressed some different interests, and but let me just say it'll be you'll see Alex get some cool opportunities coming up.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, guys, we're almost at 12:45, so I'll have to make this the last question.
And we'll take our last question from Bill Apter with OneWrestling.com.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, Bill.
How are you, sir? First of all, congratulations that you were mentioning Cleveland, and you're going to be inducted into the International Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's very cool, unexpected honor from Arnold, and yeah, I'm excited about it. It's a really great opportunity. They run a phenomenal event, and there's been some great people that have come before me in that, including Bruno Sammartino and Mark Henry, and some great guys. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. So here's my question that I haven't heard asked on any of these conference calls. When you sit down with your father-in-law, Vince McMahon, and he watches NXT, what does he say?
Well, getting him to sit down and watch anything is the difficult part. So I've never actually sat down with him to watch it. I do know that he's seen it. I do know that he watches it, obviously, and usually he's has it on in the background, as I'm sure he will probably tomorrow night while he's working till 11 or 12 at night before he goes down to the gym to train, because that's just the kind of guy he is. You know, he's proud of it. He's excited. I think for the future, he is proud of the system and proud of the athletes that we have down here. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways for him, a lot of the things that we're doing down here with sorry, I'm having some modulation on from your end, Bill. But
Bill, can you mute your phone?
So, thank you. So, I think a lot of, you know, the things that we're accomplishing down here, you know, you forget I've spent a lot of time side by side with him over the last 20 years, sometimes too much. And a lot of the vision of what's happening down here are things we've talked about, you know, and it's not like this is all just, you know, dropping out of my head or the system we're running here. And how I mean that is just I've picked up so much from him over the years of what we needed, what needed to happen within developmental, what we needed to continue to expand the business. And, you know, when I came into the office and stepped out of the ring, this was kind of like what I wanted to take on and help develop the future. And I was lucky enough that he gave me the opportunity to do that. And he's given me the opportunity to do that without a massive amount of oversight, which to me is the ultimate compliment, because he has the trust in me to do it. But a lot of what we do down here is kind of, you know, visions, and I'm not talking about the day-to-day, but I'm talking the overall what we should have, you know, the performance center. It's one of the things when I pitched the performance center to him, my pitch was, this is what we should have. This is what the WWE should have. This is what our developmental should be. This is what our future should look like, you know. And he agreed with it, and I knew that he would, because we've talked about it before. It's being on the same page. He's incredibly proud of it. He's incredibly proud of the athletes, and I think it makes him feel really good that, you know, 3-5 years from now, we're going to be in a really good place talent-wise and business-wise, all of it, you know. And I think Bill wanted
on the indies, et cetera, asking me, how do I get seen so I can maybe be scouted by NXT? How does that happen?
So we have a recruiting department. You know, if they're already working in the indies, then chances are we already know about them. You know, one of my my key figures in that is William Regal. He's a guy I've known since very early in my career, and has a great eye for talent, and I have a strong trust in his thinking and his analysis of talent and what people have and what they don't and where they can go and where they can't. And you know, we spend a lot of time looking at that stuff, but you know, if you're already out there doing this, it's continuing to learn your craft in a way that leads you to coming to the WWE, developing your character, developing a personality, not just being a mechanic, which is important, but it's only one piece of it, you know. And we scour everything, you know. We're looking for big personalities and athletes from every single walk of life, and that doesn't negate anything. You know, it's wherever that opportunity comes from, and we're looking for those talent, and they can always send stuff to us and get our eyes on them.
Okay, well, I've been working on your Power DVD, so I'm quite cut right now, so you may have to come and take a look.
Yeah, but Bill, I don't know that you have that much. One thing that always comes to mind whenever I see you is one word is jacked. It just, I see it every time I see you. I think, wow, Bill is jacked.
Unbelievable. Better than comb over. Thank you so much.
Yeah, superstar Billy Graham-esque almost.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps up our conference call for this time around. Thanks, as always, for being a part of it.
Thank you again. I'll throw the invitation. Anybody that wants to come, Performance Center, Full Sail, NXT, please give us a call. I know some of you already have, and I love that you've taken advantage of that opportunity. Thanks for participating in this call. I look forward to doing them. I look forward to interacting with you guys. And, you know, if anything comes up along the way that you have questions on or any of it, please feel free to reach out to our department here, to our PR, and I'd be happy to answer questions or at least give you some guidance on how to get those answers. So thank you guys very much. Again, NXT TakeOver tomorrow. Can't be more excited. And hopefully you guys will tell the world about it so everybody will be watching.